Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, June 2nd, 2009, Carrboro Board of Aldermen meeting. Before we begin our regularly printed agenda, I have a couple of quick items to take care of from the podium over here. The first thing is going to be a proclamation. I would like to invite the principal and I believe one of the guidance counselors from Carrboro High School to come up here and join me at the podium, if y'all will join me right up here. Oh, and we have some students. All right. Right on. Come on up. No, okay. Well, so.
Two of our seniors, this is their last day of class.
Okay.
Instead of going to the beach, they showed up here.
Okay. Instead of going to the beach. I can see it. I decided not to go to the beach and come here instead myself. Do you want to
introduce yourself real quick? Okay. I'm Kelly Batten, principal of Carrboro High School.
Yay.
I'm Vicki Aldana, and I just finished at Carrboro High today.
Yay!
I'm Mary Gratch, lucky counselor of this graduating class.
Rachel Wells, and I finished as well.
I'm Carly Brown, and I finished today.
So, in connection with our visitors here, I'm going to read this proclamation that I issued today. Whereas Carrboro High School opened in August 2007 as the first leadership in energy and environmental design silver certified high school in North Carolina, and whereas June 13, 2009 will mark a milestone in the budding history of Carrboro High School, and whereas the class of 2009 will be the first graduating class of 138 students, and whereas the graduates devoted approximately 15,000 hours of service to the community, the nation, and abroad, and whereas they were awarded over $2.4 million collectively in scholarships, and whereas this exceptional group have firmly established a solid foundation of high expectations, raising the bar for future Carrboro High graduates to follow, and whereas the architecture and culture of Carrboro High School embody the essence and unique character of the town of Carrboro, and whereas the town of Carrboro congratulates Carrboro High School's class of 2009 for a momentous achievement to be celebrated by family, teachers, coaches, staff, and community, and whereas the Board of Aldermen and the entire town of Carrboro are proud of the academic service and athletic achievements of the class of 2009 and encourage them to continue learning, aim high, and follow their dreams. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Mark Chilton, the mayor of the town of Carrboro, North Carolina, do hereby proclaim the week of June 7th through 13th, 2009 as Carrboro High School Class of 2009 week in the town of Carrboro.
Yeah, woo!
And if anybody would like to add anything real quick, you're more than welcome to. I think for our shortly upcoming or just about to graduate graduates, if you would walk down the line and shake hands with everybody on the Board of Aldermen, please. I just wanted to say great work.
Thank
and
you.
Congratulations.
Thanks for all you've done.
Thanks,
Mary.
Thanks for all you've
done. Well, that was nice.
All right. Are there some folks here from the Chapel Hill Carrboro Sunrise Rotary Club? If you would come join me up here and also maybe
I'm worried about my flip-flops, but this is good.
It's
Carrboro, dude.
I'm wearing Crocs myself. And maybe the folks from the Carrboro Parks Project, if you would come up here. Just you. This is a resolution that was passed recently by the Board of Aldermen, and I'm just going to read it. Whereas the Chapel Hill Carrboro Sunrise Rotary has generously donated $3,000 to the town of Carrboro for the design, purchase, and installation of an 18-hole disc golf course at Anderson Park. And whereas this donation will allow the town to install a disc golf course at Anderson Park, which actually has been completed now, stop on by and see it. And whereas the Chapel Hill Carrboro Sunrise Rotary has also donated time toward promoting the fundraising effort and assisting with volunteer work days to install the course, now therefore be it resolved by the Carrboro Board of Aldermen, on behalf of the town of Carrboro and its citizens, the Board of Aldermen hereby expresses its sincere thanks and gratitude to the Chapel Hill Carrboro Sunrise Rotary for this generous donation. And this resolution shall be entered into the official minutes of the Board of Aldermen. And we have framed copy of it to present to you. So I just want to say thank you. And everybody who was involved in the video. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can I go say
anything?
Yeah.
Why not?
It's a cool thing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Now I'd like to ask Zach Ward to come join me up here. If there is anybody watching who does not know who Zach Ward is, then you need to find out. Zach is the guy. I don't know, the guy.
He's the man
behind the DSI Comedy Theater over at Carmel Mall, around back of Elmo's. And they have performances, pretty much every Friday and Saturday?
Every single Friday and Saturday.
Every Friday and Saturday night. So come on out this Friday or Saturday night and check them out. This resolution was also passed recently by the board. Whereas Zach Ward of DSI Comedy Theater has generously donated $4,200 to the town of Carrboro for the design, purchase, and installation of an 18-hole disc golf course at Anderson Park. And whereas Zach Ward has also donated time towards promoting the fundraising effort and initiating contacts to further the fundraising effort, now therefore be it resolved by the Carrboro Board of Aldermen, on behalf of the town of Carrboro and its citizens, the Board of Aldermen hereby expresses its sincere thanks and gratitude to Zach Ward of DSI Comedy Theater for his generous donation. And I might add, it doesn't say it in the resolution, but on top of that, I think we're all grateful for having a great cultural resource in our downtown in the form of DSI Comedy Theater. So
thank you very much, Mike.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, good to see you. Anybody else need thanking and handshaking?
Probably so, but we'll draw the line there for tonight. Okay. Let's see. The next item is where we would hear petitions from persons wanting to speak on matters that are not on our regularly printed agenda. Alan Spalt is here. If you would come up, Alan. I have a couple other people signed up here, but I'll call on you when we get to the relevant agenda item. Mr. Spalt, former Alderman Spalt.
Thank you. I am Alan Spalt. I live on James Street, and I'm glad to be here. And I want to just start by saying a week ago or so, I was at the county commissioners meeting, and there were probably 25 students from Carrboro High School and maybe 20 other adults, parents, teachers, counselors, so forth, administrators that were there. And they were arguing for, advocating for the arts wing to be built. And it was really impressive to hear these young people and how articulate they were. I'm sorry that none of them spoke tonight, because you would be impressed. But I was impressed the other night. So that's just a sidelight. It's so nice to have an institution in town called Carrboro High School, and to be staffed and populated by such great people. You've been thanking a lot of people tonight. I actually have come here tonight to thank you and the town and the contractor. About a year ago, Francis Shetley is here tonight, and several of other of us from James Street came to encourage you to speed up the construction of the sidewalk along James Street, which had been in process but slowed down for a very long time. And with your encouragement, the staff did yeoman work, and the contractor was hired from Raleigh White Oak Construction, which had worked in the town before, and did a really good job with the process. There were very few problems as it went along. And what we have now is a sidewalk and that is really appropriate. The design was responsive to what the town needed and what the local residents wanted. It's a sidewalk that doesn't make the road feel any wider, so it's not likely to encourage people to go any faster. We all have trouble with speed in town, but it's not going to happen. Nobody's going to go faster along James Street because the road does not look any wider. What it does look is a whole lot safer. And for those of us that live along it and watch people and children and dogs and folks going to school and to the post office and everything at the other end, we know how dangerous it was and how much safer it is now. It's sort of miraculous that nobody was hurt or killed in the years while we waited for this sidewalk. So, you know, at a time when I know you're struggling with budgets and we're really glad that the money was there last year, and I was assured that it would be there this year, but who knows? You know, you don't have as much money as you did. So we are really glad that it's done, and I thank everybody from you on the board to the manager to George Size and people like Ted Barker, who one of the residents said how much he appreciated him, come and really explaining to him what the impact of the sidewalk would be on his property. And Dave Stuckey, who just left after the previous thing, was one who had a very serious water problem, and everybody worked it out over a period of time. And so people are happy with it, and I thank you for that. And I think it's important to think about it as part of how the neighborhood gets improved, because years ago we had stop signs and then speed bumps and the sidewalk. It's all part of improving this. And I know you're dealing with speed bumps and possibly stop signs in another part of the neighborhood. It's very important that we not play squeeze the balloon and make it so it's easier and faster for people to go through one street than another. So I urge you to keep that all in mind, and one day we'll have even more sidewalks in Carborough. Miles have been built with the bond issue that the voters passed years ago, and we will look forward to more of them. One very small thing that happened after the project was completed and not related to the project is that I just want to bring to your attention without interfering with these thanks at all, is that may want to get dealt with some way, is just a week or so ago, some cement truck that had a little bit too much cement at the end of its day dumped a bunch in one of the brand new ditches that we all paid for to get fixed up. It's got nice riprap and all of that, and now it's got a bunch of cement in it. And it's either going to get left there and be an invitation for more dumping, or it'll take a lot of time and some effort to get either partially or completely removed. And I know that in some towns there is a system where anybody working cement in the town has to register so that you know who's got cement in the town, because it is a chronic thing that cement trucks at the end of the day have a little extra and they want to put it somewhere. It's easier on new construction sites, but this is not a new construction site. So you might want to put that in the hopper and see whether, well, it's only a few a day, and most days there probably isn't any concrete being poured in town. So it wouldn't be a great big burden, but it would possibly be a way to keep this from happening again, because it's certainly unsightly, and it's, you know, it kind of, I think if they get away with it, and we're not sure who it was, I mean, there were only a couple of trucks in town that day, but nobody knows for sure who it was, that it's just sort of an invitation to more of that. So, but keep that separate from the thanks. Thanks for the sidewalk. I know there are lots of people walking on it every day. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anne.
Okay,
and the public. Yeah. I know
a lot of people at Public Works have worked on making that project happen. We're grateful.
They really worked hard on it.
Thank you.
All right. With that, we'll turn to the consent agenda, Mr. Manager.
Okay. Item 1 is approval of the minutes of the previous meetings of May 19th and May 26th. Item 2 is a request to adopt a budget amendment. Item 3 is a request to approve a lease agreement with the community schools for people under 6. Item 4 is a request for the board approval to allow town staff to proceed with installment financing for the new fire substation. Item 5 is a request to authorize and award a contract for the construction of fire station number 2. Item 6 is a request to adopt an ordinance revising the town code provisions dealing with water conservation restrictions.
Second.
The 6 items have been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, the matter passed unanimously. I'd like to just add some thanks to Owasa. I know during our drought a year or two ago, a lot of us on the Board of Aldermen were seeking some revisions and some tightening on our water conservation rules, and I think it's great that the organization was responsive to what the community was asking for. Thanks. All right. Item D1, a request from Wendy Spitzer for in-kind use in Century Center for the Liminal Festival.
The board is being asked to consider a request from Wendy Spitzer for an in-kind use of the Century Center for up to $125 for the Liminal Festival. The requested time of the use is September 25th from 3 to 6 p.m. And
is coming from me.
Oh, okay.
Wendy came to the Arts Commission at our last meeting and asked for us to endorse and support this music festival. The Arts Commission, and helped with it, and the Arts Commission said, whoa, that's really close to the Carborough Music Festival. And we really can't do that. We can't commit town staff to that. We can't commit, you know, our energies. But it's a cool thing to be doing, and it's a neat outreach. It's a good population, and it'll bring lots of people to our downtown during that time, and it's good for our businesses. So that I said, instead of just saying no, go away, I often think if you're saying no, you should try to say yes a little bit with the other hand, especially when it's something positive. So I suggested to the Arts Commission, and they passed a resolution supporting it, that we waive the fee for the use of the Century Center in order to be supportive of this project. And so this is where that's coming
from. I'll take that as a motion the resolution to accept the request.
I second, but I have a question.
I have a question too.
Yeah.
I do too.
All right, let's hear.
Jackie, could you tell us what liminal means?
No, and I can't spell it either.
Okay.
Liminal means at the threshold. So
oh,
something that's
are.
Subliminal is below a threshold of perception. Comes from the Latin word limine.
That's why he's mayor. Yep.
And in court, you make motions in limine at the threshold of the hearing. In other words, right before the hearing.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sure. It's a Latin word. With the lawyers tongue.
Joel, and then
Is there some policy or standard by which we waive the fees? I mean, is there some particular criteria?
Yes.
It's in the agenda abstract.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it fits within it? I'm sorry. In one of those weeks.
Well,
the commission is sponsoring it, right?
Or that
they're not sponsoring.
We're not sponsoring it. And we didn't want to say, because we think it's a neat thing that you're doing, but the Arts Commission really wasn't in any position to co-sponsor it or to try and bring town staff into it, and so we thought, you know, this is a way of, you know, and they say this is a one-time thing. We would like eventually for it to maybe roll a little bit more into our music festival, but since things are already underway, we thought, you know, it's going to bring business to Carborough,
so
during a rough time.
It would be an exception. yes. to the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my seconding this is based on the recommendation of the Arts Committee.
Yeah.
No, otherwise I would have the same question you have, Joel.
Right.
How many times have we made the exception? I'm just curious. Is this the first time?
I don't know that or what liminal means.
I don't know that I don't know that there have been any exceptions. I will say, and Anita can correct me if I'm wrong, I think the staff at Rec and Parks somewhat routinely gets requests from private citizens for waivers. This is the first time we know of that a waiver would be granted for somebody or some group that's not a nonprofit.
Yeah. But a large part of what they're doing will be free and open to the public, and there's one event at the Arts Center, I think it is, that'll be for money.
Lydia.
I think my concern with this request is that it might be a floodgate. I'm sure they're, and it sounds wonderful, and it sounds like at another time of the year, the department could perhaps co-sponsor it, but... it could be a floodgate where individuals could come forward and want to have other events, the fees waived, under the auspice, legitimate or not, of some type of a nonprofit venture.
But you said it was for-profit.
It's both. There's one event where they're going to sell tickets, but then other events are open to the public, and there's outreach to schools and to homeschool kids.
Is she making a profit on those ticket sales,
no.
or are those just to cover costs?
I think it's to cover costs. She's not making a profit.
Well, then is there any, is the stuff that would happen at the Century Center have ticket sales associated with it?
I don't think so. It's what's at the art center.
I think the admission charges are for other events.
Yeah, one event where there's going to be $7 admission.
Right.
Well, I can support it if they're not charging
more
entity.
Property.
Right.
They're not.
Right. Okay.
I'll note that there are a lot of the performers are local as well, including
mm-hmm.
at least two of them are from Carborough.
And one even wrote our wonderful It's Carborough video.
Billy Sugarfix himself will be there. all right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed.
Nice.
The matter passes 6-1. Three years I spent studying Latin so that I could answer that question.
But does anyone want to hear my really bad joke using the word limo?
Go for
sure.
It.
Sure. Why not?
Did you hear this from Misha?
No, he heard it from me.
Okay.
I take full responsibility. So I was trying to remember what you call the kind of ship that sails under the water, but my knowledge of it was subliminal.
Oh.
I wonder if it was really bad.
That is bad.
Okay. You can all have pity on my wife.
Interesting.
We did that.
All right, item D2, Mr. Manager.
The only person I know in this room who might could top that is Roy Williford.
We'll keep him away from the party.
Friday night.
All right.
Friday night.
You don't have a future at DSI.
This is an update on Smith Level Road Transportation Improvement Project. The purpose of this item is to give the board an update on NCDOT's post-public hearing meeting held on April 28th for the Smith Level Road project. The board is being asked to decide on the preferred option for moving forward with improvements to Smith Level Road based on three options presented by NCDOT. And Trish McGuire is here to give you all an overview of those options. And here in place of, as I think you all now know, Adina Messinger, whose last day with us was Friday.
Yeah. So.
Good evening, everyone. So the recent timeline on this project is that back in March, DOT held a public hearing on the design for Smith Level Road, a TIP project that we've had in the works for quite some time. And the town followed that in April with its own public hearing. The DOT staff met and had a post-hearing meeting on April 28th. Just an overview of the project limits from down the southern end of Smith Level Road near Rock Haven up to the bridge at Morgan Creek. I do have images of the details, you know, of the proposed project, if anyone would like to see those at some point. The public comments from the 2009 hearings, both DOTs and the towns, covered similar issues. First of all, opposition to the portions of the project that included widening to four lanes. There was also opposition to the construction of a median associated with part of the four-lane section at the Willow Oak, near the Willow Oak Lane intersection or entrance to Smith Level Road. There were concerns about the roundabout that's proposed at Rock Haven Road, the intersection with Rock Haven Road, and questions about the data that was used in forecasting future traffic volumes on Smith Level Road. The post-hearing meeting was held, as I said, on April 28th at NCDOT's offices. Two of the town staff members attended, and the topics of discussion were the comments from the public hearings and checking in on those comments. And during that time, the NCDOT staff offered three options for the town's consideration and moving forward in response to the board's resolution after the public hearing, our public hearing. The first option offered by DOT is for the town to accept the current design, the current TIP project that includes a variety of sections, three to four lane and improvements and a roundabout at Rock Haven Road. The second option is to abandon that TIP project and for the town to seek through the MPO process a new bike ped project for Smith Level Road, with those funds then being allocated through the bike and ped division of NCDOT's TIP projects. The third option the staff offered was, NCDOT staff offered, was for the DOT to construct and design and construct a three-lane section as the town requested in its resolution, the sidewalk, bike lanes, and the roundabout, with the town agreeing to take over maintenance and ownership of Smith Level Road within the project limits. The Board of Aldermen also had several questions in follow-up to the this information being provided after the post-hearing meeting. We did provide a staff memo on those, responding to questions about land use in the area of Smith Level Road, both in Chapel Hill's jurisdiction and our jurisdiction, and in northern Chatham County. The legality of the town, of the state, rather, turning over a state road to the town, and the projected maintenance costs for associated with option three. The schedule that DOT has outlined for us is their ideal situation would be for the town to respond tonight and to provide that information to them so they can make a decision about moving forward. This project was on schedule for right-of-way acquisition in the summer of 2009. If there's no action tonight, they've asked for the town to, if the town could make a decision by July 1st, and if we're not able to do that, that we tell them a date beyond that point at which we would provide a response to them, a decision. The fiscal and staff impacts are included in the packet. Just in summary, and there are other considerations described for you as well. The first option has a specific 30% match for the sidewalk construction of the TIP project at $108,000. This is currently estimated. Option two, the costs are unknown because we don't know exactly what type of project funding we would be able to obtain through that pursuit of bike and ped funds, a bike and ped project. It's possibly 30% of sidewalk construction as well. Option three has short-term costs that are estimated to be this is actually longer-term but short-term maintenance costs as part of this, if the street were to become part of the town system, at $17,900 or so. This is an estimate per year. Longer-term costs raise some other issues, and we really aren't able to estimate them because of the eventual need to reconstruct, resurface the street, and possibly improvements to that street as changes occur on the state portions of the road, and with this portion being between two state portions.
So we would not have a share of the sidewalk construction under that option?
That's my understanding. And there is a fellow from DOT here tonight who might be able to say that's the case.
Okay.
Mr. Lewis.
Let me just go ahead and say option three would also be a TIP project and the 30% of sidewalk construction. My understanding would be the same.
Okay.
It would be the
same. That's a clarification for us. Thank you very much. The recommendation that we've included in your packet and are making here tonight is that the board adopt either attachment A1 or attachment A2, which would be supporting options 1 or 2 that are before us. Happy to try and answer any questions.
Mark, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Trish, in our packet on attachment A2, the inclusion has roundabout Rock Haven Road, and what you had on the PowerPoint just referred to sidewalk and pedestrian, bikeways and sidewalks. Is it included or isn't it included?
I think that was what we were scoping out when we prepared this resolution. And since that project isn't defined, we haven't defined it to pursue any funds. I mean, it could be one or the other. Roundabouts do have, I might defer to Mr. Lewis on this question. I mean, roundabouts do have a pedestrian safety component to them. It's possible that it could be included as part of a bike ped project. I am not familiar with other ones that the bike ped division has that does include a roundabout, but
I would just say that if it's possible that the roundabout could be included, that we use the word possible or potential rather than to include, because that kind of assumes its inclusion. Okay. Given that at the hearings the concern that there were, you know, it underscored the concerns about roundabout safety, not only at the hearings, but also the follow-up meeting with DOT. So I would.
Trish, can you ask him if he knows if a roundabout, can a roundabout be included in a bike ped project? Do you know, or has it been?
That's something we probably need to take back to Raleigh.
Okay.
And talk to the folks there.
I'm sorry.
Lydia, and then
I would prefer just to see the roundabout taken out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I.
Well, let's.
Yeah.
Let me.
I don't know why it's.
Well, let me suggest on that point that that's only relevant if we're. It's only relevant if we're interested in pursuing option three.
Two,
right?
True. I will hold my horses.
Option. Oh, okay. I see. Option two. It's relevant to two as well. But I guess what I'm suggesting is, well, let's focus on what we're pursuing, and we can.
Yeah.
That's a second question. Sorry. Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay. I guess my question is also for Mr. Lewis, and it has to do with option three, and that is what appears to be a willingness by DOT to construct a three-lane road, you know, not have the four-lane, which is really the biggest item of contention. To build that type of a project, but yet ask this board to take over maintenance of over almost a mile of what's currently state maintained road, and just wanted to know what the thought process was behind that.
Well, why don't you come up front and speak at the mic if you don't mind.
With that option, which would include one lane in each direction with a center turn lane, we refer to it as a two-way left turn lane. What you would have to do is write another environmental document, change the purpose and need of the project. So again, what we would look at there would be the entire project. We would look at the town taking over the maintenance responsibility of the entire project if the state pursued that option. Because again, if you look in the information that was provided to you, the project we proposed at the March 9th hearing is about as pared down a design that we can go and still feel that it's a safe project. The one lane roadway, the one lane in each direction with the center turn lane will work okay for a while, but as that traffic increases based on our projections, you're going to have congestion issues out there, and the department does not want to go back if we do decide to go ahead, if the town decides to go ahead and go with this option. That's why we give the responsibility of the roadway to the city.
And am I understanding from what you're saying that DOT is not committed to building this project in option three necessarily, that we'd have to go through an application procedure or whatever the procedure is called and have that still, that would still have to be approved for funding?
Well, the funding is there.
It's the same funding.
We would just have to change our environmental and planning documentation.
Okay, so that's procedural steps.
Yes.
Right. Joel and then Jackie.
Okay, let me ask you about the Triangle Regional Model forecasting. And could you tell me what that is based upon in terms of how large is the area from which you are determining that there is an increase, and what documents do you use from the surrounding towns or counties when forecasting growth?
Growth projections, trends, we pull and gather information from the local governments. We put that information into our traffic model for the area, and that's where we get a lot of our traffic numbers for this project. Again, we got a lot of that information from the town, and again, we put that into the computer model, and we took into account the other modes of transportation that were available. I think that was one of the questions, too.
I got a follow-up question. The data that you put in, is it just from our town, or is it from the surrounding counties? So, for example, do you use data when you put in the model from Chatham County,
Chapel Hill?
I'm assuming they would put
Chapel
Hill.
Yeah, what we're dealing with is two MPOs, the Durham, Carborough, Chapel Hill, and then Campo. So all that information is pulled together, put into the computer model that our transportation planning branch has developed for this transportation system. And then based on the projected growth information that we get from the localities, that is put into that computer model, and that is where our traffic numbers in the design year come from. If you remember, we're not designing for the traffic that's out there today. It's the traffic 25 years down the road.
One more follow-up. I'm sorry. I mean, it's data. So my question is, so part of the increase in trend growth is directly related to more accelerated growth in an area that may be further away from us?
Well, you look at who's going to be using the road coming into Carborough and coming out of Carborough, and again, the computer model takes all that into account. And again, I'm getting outside my area of expertise. Again, I think
that's reference. You don't program the computer yourself.
Right. Okay.
But again, we do have the contact information, I think, in one of your handouts there, Mr. Walston.
Jackie.
Okay. So this is the reason that DOT would like us to build four lanes is for 25 years further out, correct?
Correct.
I do not mean to shoot the messenger, and I do not mean to be rude to you. I don't understand why, with all that we know about the drastic need to change transportation habits and the damage environmentally, global warming, socially, all that we know about how single-occupancy cars are bad on so many different levels, and the way our economy is kind of telling us now that they may not be the best way for us to go, why do the DOT models continually keep projecting out and planning for people to not change their behaviors. Because if you plan for people to not change their behaviors, they're not going to change their behaviors. I've been on this board for 20 years, and I keep seeing this over and over and over again. And it's very, very depressing. And so who do we need to talk to? What do we need to do to get those models changed? People will do what's easiest for them to do. And if we were not planning for people to use single occupancy vehicles all the time, and if we made it inconvenient, you know, I would love to see it become a pain in the neck to drive a single occupancy vehicle, because when it's a pain in the neck, then people are going to change their behaviors. But I don't want my town ruined so that people that are living in this overdeveloped part of Chatham County can come zooming through my town easily. I don't see any benefit to Carrboro for that, but I still don't understand why we're not planning on behavior changing.
Again, we can only provide the base our design on the information that's provided to us by the town. You're bringing up something that the department, we react to local planning issues that the local authorities come up with. We produce a transportation system model, as I said before. Again, the information comes from the local governments. We program that information into the traffic model, and these are the numbers. These are the driver characteristics that do come up in the model. And again, we did take into account the ridership of the bus lines and the other modes of travel as well.
Yeah, by way of follow-up to Jackie's point, at the Transportation Advisory Board meeting last week, was that last week only? Anyway, it's somewhere in time before now. There was a lot of discussion at that point, and Austin, who's here tonight, and are you signed up to speak, Austin, or are you just?
Well, I have three people signed up, actually.
Okay, but anyway, Austin went to that meeting that David Price had back in March that was on, do you remember what it was called, Austin? Summit for Smart Growth, and Gene Conte, who's the new director of DOT, and also Nina Schalzberg, were on a panel there. And Austin reported that he felt that there was a lot more interest in the idea of complete streets and a different approach. And what I've been planning in terms of our discussion tonight to raise this point is that I think a fourth option for us is to defer a decision and try and make some higher level contacts with DOT and raise the question Jackie's asking, saying, you know, this is what we see as forward thinking, what's going to work for our community. We hear the DOT is changing. How can we move things ahead so that our needs can be met? And anyway, so I want to just put that out there as what I think is the way to go.
I'd support that.
Well, and I have a question whether or not the DOT models are taking into account, in addition to behavior, but the issues of, you know, peak oil 25 years from now.
Its behavior is going to have to change.
It's right.
Yeah.
And that would be my concern at this point. I agree with Dan, having a fourth option, being able to future how DOT is going to look at new kinds of infrastructure, I think is really important.
Let me suggest at this point that if you wanted to have a seat, Mr. Lewis, thanks.
And thank you, and we're sorry.
You we're a tough crowd.
I'm not trying to shoot at your head.
No.
Let me call on the people who have signed up to speak here. I think it's Alan Weiber, maybe? Weiber?
I think for me, it's I live at 302 Orchard Lane, Carrboro. For me, it's either option 2 or option 3 or option 4. one is ridiculous. It seemed like the traffic circle too. The voice was, we don't want that. So,
exactly.
Option three doesn't have it in it. That turn lane may be good. I don't know if you have to maintain the section. Does that mean you control the section? In other words, the DOT can't come back in 10 years and say, we're going to change it to 4 or 5 lanes, that once you maintain it, do you control it? And maybe it's worth maintaining it. I don't know. Option four may be better. Anyway, I'm for 2, 3, or 4. And I don't agree with 4 lanes by an elementary school divided highway. That's ridiculous. And what's the next step? Can you imagine 4 lanes coming up Greensboro into the city? Can you imagine that? Because that's the next step, I think. So,
then we're gone.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Alan. Thank you, Alan.
Nuj Kalikoglu.
Say that again.
No, thanks.
So it's Mugay Chalakolu. I live at 203 Orchard Lane. My previous comments at the April 21st meeting were not included in the final documents, and so I'd like to reiterate here that as a neighborhood and community that the four-lane highway, therefore option number one, is off the table. I thought that that's what we had agreed upon as a group. I almost feel the pressure and being blindsided by the DOT as well as this current meeting where things are going towards a deadline and a pressure, and in this time of fiscal responsibility, I don't know what we are rushing for. Yes, I know that they must have $7 million to spend, but I want to find out smarter ways to spend that money. And one point, I feel that the DOT comments on the documents were just cut and pasted statements repeated all over again, no different than what we have heard about this project for the past 15 years without really any true content in answering the town and our community's concerns about this. I felt that the comments about roundabouts were just generalized. I felt the comments about the speed limits were generalized. I felt the comments about the increased projection of growth were as well generalized. So my comment to the engineers is, please, we're a group of smart people. We really want to see the facts. We want to see your models. Some of us can run those models here for you and come up with better answers if it's going to help our community. And my other concern is that if it's a state road, it's a 50 to 55 miles per hour. That community and that section is not amenable to 50 miles per hour. The reason the people want a sidewalk and bike lane is to have a basic leisurely stroll so that eventually we can have sidewalks up Greensboro Street and we as a community can walk downtown, use the businesses in downtown, and really live in a livable community, not a place that is another potential NC-54 or another 15501. Thank you.
Thanks.
Jason Henning.
My name is Jason Henning, and I live at 107 Juniper Court. I guess I'd like to change the mood just a little bit. In April, the town of Carrboro restated its resolve to maintain its values and its personality by once again rejecting the excessive expansion of Smith Level Road. And I was proud of the unwavering lack of compromise over the past 20 years as this issue has come up over and over again. And we try to maintain to improve in pedestrian traffic by not selling out Carrboro's vision. And we decouple this highway project from the sidewalks, continuing to pursue sidewalks, but continuing to reject the highway. In April, we also heard about a new DOT, and this was met with much skepticism, including my own. But I would like to tell you about some changes that I did see, because I don't think that's being pointed out. I've been to 4 of these meetings with the DOT, and not once, up until this last time, did I ever receive a reply or a response or any comment at all. So I think this is a sign of the new DOT. Secondly, I'd like to comment on the options. If I understood them correctly, and I won't review them excessively, but option one is essentially a restate of what we have been going over for the last 20 years. Option three is sort of a undesirable option where Carrboro will take over some of the responsibilities, and it may be another way of them to wedge this in. However, option two, at least as stated in a letter that I received, is something new and unique from what I've seen before. This is the first time that I've heard the DOT come up with an option that says, we will remove this project as it stands from the traffic improvement programs and allow us to submit it to the DOT, the Department for Pedestrian and Bicycles, which is a separate department. In there, I was reading up on it, there's actually a program for safe passage for kids to school. And this is a thoroughfare for three schools. There's an elementary school, a middle school, and a high school along this path, and it seems like it's a perfect fit. So what I'm hopeful is this is a sign of the new DOT and that we could take advantage of this. I'm hoping that this is the project that we desire, which is sidewalks and bike lanes, that it's one that's most cost-effective for us, and it seems to be in line with what Carbro's visions are. So I'm hopeful, at least based on what I understand on it, I'm open for a debate, that this is the project that we'll vote for, is option two for sidewalks and bike lanes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so Ed, could I ask you one more question real quick? I want to make sure I understand this procedurally, but under option two, the suggestion is to remove the project U-2803 from the state TIP, Transportation Improvement Program, and pursue it as a bicycle and pedestrian project only. Is that because projects which are bike and pedestrian only projects do not qualify as state TIP projects?
The bicycle and pedestrian program is part of the TIP program. It's just a different funding source. And as we discussed at the post public hearing minutes, the funding for that type of project under option two, it would be a challenge to get some funding for that project. As you imagine, there are other bike ped projects in the Chapel Hill Carver area. Again, that's something that the MPO could really stress and try to move up to the top. But again, it's competition almost, mm-hmm. that type of funding source.
Right. Okay. Thanks very much.
And just one thing I'd like to clear up, a lot of folks, when we talk about a 50 mile per hour design speed, that is basically what is out there now. It's a design speed. It's not the posted speed. Posted speed would remain 35 miles per hour. If we put a design speed on the existing road that's out there now, it's a 50 mile per hour design speed.
Right. All of DOT's roads are designed for speeds that are above the anticipated limit because we know there are scofflaws out there who will be driving well above the limit. But come on up.
My name is Tom Hyde. I live at Ray Road. I would just like, and I don't understand completely what the request from DOT is, but I'd like to advocate that we pursue Dan's option of maybe extending the time frame such that we have an opportunity to meet with DOT and discuss our predicament and see if there is some sort of resolution before the funding would be pulled. I spoke with David Price's office after the vote, and a woman from Washington from his office communicated several different options for funding. It seems that we need to put the project on the MPO as a bike-ped project. But I would also request that the board not precipitously, if you decide to go with option two, remove the roundabout, because while it may be a challenge, I think it also, there might be ways to get that funded as a bike-ped project using some federal funds and other funding potentials such that we don't kick it to the curb immediately. I know there's a classic cliche about the perfect being the enemy of the good, and I heard a great response to that, which was, so you're saying this is perfect, so why aren't we pursuing it? So anyway, my two cents.
Thanks, John.
Okay. I guess if I could jump right out and share some thoughts. I guess what kind of bothers me a little bit about the three options that have been outlined. I mean, clearly option one, this board has already rejected, so there's no need to discuss that option. Option two, regarding the notion of withdrawing this as is agreeing to or requesting withdrawing it as an STIP project, I guess I have some serious concerns and reservations about approaching it in that way. Although I understand the point that the gentleman from the neighborhood there was making about that, the fact is that as just a bicycle and pedestrian project, this project does qualify as for funding through the STIP program. And that's true of, actually, I think, of most of the items that are on our list that we submit annually to the MPO of what our priorities for our community are. They're almost all. It's buying some buses and then a bunch of different sidewalks and bike lanes. And our projects those bicycle and pedestrian only projects, I shouldn't say they never get funded. I'm not sure if it'd be accurate to say they never get funded, but they are not given the kind of weight or priority that that roadway projects in other communities in our MPO are given. And I don't accept the notion that is fair to Carborough residents as taxpayers. And so it's option two, from my point of view, is totally unacceptable for that reason. I think we would be agreeing to a paradigm that a lot of people at DOT try to enforce on us anyway, which is to say that they're not going to spend their STIP dollars on our bike and ped projects. And I think that would have very bad implications, not only for this project, but for 9 other things on our priority list of top 10 priorities for the community. Option three is, I think, totally unacceptable because responsibility for maintenance of that road, we have, approaching a 100-year history of having a state highway system in North Carolina, and there are a lot of reasons for that. Sometimes it works to our advantage, sometimes it works to our disadvantage. But to begin here to piecemeal undo that, this does not make any sense to me. It opens up the town to untold future liability, and it establishes a bad precedent because we will have this exact same issue arise sooner or later on Greensboro Street, mm-hmm. on Hillsborough Road, mm-hmm. on Old 86,
oh, yes.
on Homestead Road, on Old Fayetteville Road, on Estes Drive Extension. And we have to hold out, if not on this project, on many of those others for a transportation future that this board believes in. And I think we would be setting ourselves up for having no state roads in Carborough, fairly, other than the 54 bypass, in fairly short order. So that's totally, and I'll also say that we would be setting a precedent for DOT to ask Chapel Hill, Orange County, Chatham County, every one of the 100 counties across North Carolina, and God knows how many municipalities, to accept the same type of terms in the mm-hmm. future. From what I, unless I'm mistaken, I don't believe DOT has ever turned over a state-maintained highway to a local government for future responsibility, and I don't see why we would want to be the first to accept that kind of responsibility and make that kind of change in our relationship with the state government. And I guess, Dan, your suggestion that we pursue a kind of option four, I don't have a problem with that. I want to be clear though that I think what I want to see is that how we're moving forward is not by delaying in responding to DOT on this issue, but instead to I think we can respond to them tonight, and I think the response is this is an appropriate item for the state TIP, and the scope of the project that the community wants is bike lanes and sidewalks, and that is all.
Except that if that response causes them to release the funds, whereas if we said, give us till September 30th to work on this, and that kept the funds in play, to me that would be the reason not to take that step. I mean, I agree with you in principle.
Well, that the implication of restating that position is that we have somehow agreed to the release of these funds out of the state TIP is something that has entirely been fabricated by the Department of Transportation. I mean, that's just something they have imposed upon us.
Can't they unilaterally cancel the project? Based on our having rejected it in their terms?
I have no idea. I reject the notion that we should allow them to decide what amounts to a rejection. Do you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't see why they're in the position to define define what constitutes a rejection, and so I'm saying, you know, I think ultimately, actually, I would assume that the State Board of Transportation really is the party that makes the ultimate decisions mm-hmm. about what.
How
so
really, what you're looking for is a motion that rejects these three options and keeps U-2803 as an active project subject to future deliberation between DOT and the town.
And that the scope of the project would be bicycle lanes and sidewalks. Is that, I mean,
right.
Is
yes.
there,
right.
And I guess, you know, there's a question about whether it would be with or without a roundabout, but I don't think we need to address that tonight.
Right.
I don't think we have to have that debate tonight. DOT is not, it's not that they want to build a roundabout.
Okay. Right.
It's just a question of what our community wants.
Okay.
I could do that, but I think the one reason I did like Dan's proposal was that it would give us an opportunity to get further information about if we could get some federal funding. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I would change my mind if we didn't get federal right. funding for what you just proposed, but I think right now at this juncture I would like to have all the information before us. And I don't know if, you know, I don't know if a 3 month delay is going to make that much difference, but I also do like Dan's suggestion with regards to contacting people, policymakers, higher.
I definitely agree with that. I definitely
that
agree with that.
We could, you know, certainly clearly explain our position about what our issues are with the problem, and you know, and part of that issue is the problem is you're assuming that people east of us are trying to get to Chapel Hill or even Carlborough in a fashion, you know, that the data doesn't make sense to me in some respects. Because
I think that's certainly one of the issues that would need to be brought forward. Go ahead, John.
I'm willing to support Dan's option, but honestly, I mean, I thought we already made a decision on this, and we gave the community what they asked for it. And I do believe number two is the closest thing that we might support. I'm pleasantly surprised they come up with options. I wasn't expecting that. And I think we're already giving up any other negotiation. I think we're acting on the assumption that these people are actually going to listen to another option. I think as optimistic as many people are about the new changes in the administrations, it's going to take a while. I'm ready to support option number two and keep the fight and keep talking to DOT about changing. They're not going to go away. That road, sooner or later, I mean, they it's their responsibility, and they're always going to come up with options for that. But we need those sidewalks and bike lanes, and I think let's put them up. We're ready made. We gave them up at the hearing with the support of the community. That's what we decided. So let's don't build castles in the air.
Well, I'm not suggesting that we build castles in the air. What I'm saying is I want some final decision maker other than an engineer telling us no. Okay. I mean, if it's got to be that way, they may say no, but I think you want some final decision maker.
How many times did you need to say?
I'm just going to say, I'm like the Hebrew people. It took them 40 years to get to their homeland. If it takes us, I don't want to say it takes us another 40 years, but I'm willing to
try. There.
But I'm certainly willing to take one more tactic, one more try.
Mark, I wanted to add that, there seems to be some room for some other dialogue with policymakers on another level that might be valuable, given where things are right now in the state of things and the way we look at transportation, the way we're looking at energy. And were we to be thinking along those lines, going back to what you were saying, what would be the next steps? What would we craft to move us in a direction where we could pursue a fourth option? What would that really look like?
I think we would want to speak with our representative on the State Board of Transportation from this district, Mr. Gallion, and with our state legislative delegation, and if he would be willing to speak to us, Secretary Conte.
Mark, would you please restate what you'd like us to do here?
I guess what I'm suggesting is that this particular decision-making framework has been put forward by DOT. It's something that DOT staff has created on their own. And I don't buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should respond by saying that we believe that U-2803 should remain in the state TIP and that the scope of the project should be bicycle lanes and sidewalks.
Mm-hmm. And turn lanes were needed.
Turn lanes are fine if that's indicated, but that additional travel lanes are not... not a part of our vision for the project. And if I could just make one other point, I think it's interesting that there might possibly be some opportunity for some type of federal funding to help out with this project. But I think what I'm really trying to get at is I haven't actually heard any reason why this can't be a part of the state TIP.
Right.
Why this doesn't qualify? Mm-hmm. Why? How does it make sense that if we went and found a different pool of money to fund the project, that then it could be built?
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that would be true is if bike lanes and sidewalks were not valid uses of the state TIP funds, and my understanding is that's not the case.
Okay.
The project qualifies, and. I think Mr. Lewis makes an interesting point about the fact that, we have a bunch of different priorities. Well, this one's been on the list for 20 years, actually, presumably longer than that, since it must have been on the priority list for some time before 20 years ago. So
the motion then is, as the Mythbusters put it, we reject their reality and substitute our own.
Yes.
But more to the point, I'll move that we continue to support U-2803 as a project with bike lanes and sidewalks, as we indicated, reaffirming our previous decision, and that we will continue to advocate for that with the DOT, and that Mayor Chilton will take the lead in communication with appropriate policymakers at DOT and let the rest of us know how we can help.
Second.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It sounds to me, and if I'm wrong, tell me, but, you know, option three, which has the four-lane removed and which talks about a three-lane, which I take to mean two-lane with turn lanes.
Right.
And the roundabout being another discussion that could or could not stay, it almost seems like three would be what we might want were it not for the turning over of maintenance and ownership.
Yes.
It's a big if.
Yeah.
Right, but...
It's a deal breaker.
I mean, it is a deal breaker, but I'm just saying that this is an option that they presented to us, mm-hmm, in terms of design and construction.
Mm-hmm. That they're willing to build the road.
Right. That might be acceptable.
Right.
That might be acceptable being built with their money if we don't have to assume maintenance and ownership. So I just want to say that one of the choices that we want has been presented to us by them, except for having to maintain it.
Mm-hmm. Except for having to maintain it, but also, and this is the point I'm trying to emphasize, and thereby redefining not only our relationship with the state government, but also establishing a precedent that,
right,
you know,
right. Well,
has
I'm,
implications for all of North
Carolina.
Well,
I'm obviously saying
no, I know
that part of it. But what I'm saying is really what we want. They're willing to give us at that cost. So
which is, and you also notice that in option two amounts to the same thing as well.
It's just
a question of what the funding source is. So, for example, if we basically, the implication of option two is that if we wanted to go to the MPO and say, yeah, we want to take whatever STPDA money is available to the town of Carrboro and use it to fund this project here and build these bike lanes and sidewalks, that DOT would not prevent us from doing that.
But
if I may continue my outrage, so that the only issue here is whether or not this project can be funded through the state TIP, and I don't know of any reason why it cannot.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you're saying. I'm just saying there is a difference between two and three. I mean, two does not have the turn lanes, and that kicks it into that STIP bike ped project money. This third option still keeps it in the pot of money that we've already got approved and we're in the hopper for. Except, you know, if we can get them to just, understand that
Lydia,
that's just unacceptable.
What I think is interesting about option three is that it signified to me that they understood exactly what we were looking for. And the problem that they seem to have, that DOT seems to have, is that they're looking at it in terms of their concept of our future needs, and we're looking at the future differently. And I think one of the things that maybe through further dialogue can be worked through to find a middle position with DOT is that the future does not have to be single car dependent and petroleum dependent, whatever, that we could be looking at it, you know, differently, and so therefore that option would not have to be based on 25 years in the future, that where the future looks like today, because the future will not look like today, and that's the concept they need to understand.
I agree, and I understand 100%. I'm just simply saying in terms of when Mark negotiates, talks, whatever,
right,
we might be able to leverage the money better if we keep it in the pot of money it's in right now. Because I'm telling you what, if it gets shifted to the bike ped project, we won't see it.
Motion that's on the floor is to keep the money in the pot.
Right.
Okay.
Well, let me just say, in the communications with DOT and the model and the data, you may want to emphasize this one thing. Everybody's looking for one source of water for growth in this area, and that's Jordan Lake. Falls of the Neuse can only supply a little bit of northern Raleigh. And Lake Wheeler, it was good 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but it's not going to supply. So part of the emphasis should be on the models are really not accurate with the reality that we know. Because there are more people asking for Jordan Lake water than they can take out on a daily basis. And that's what's fueling the growth, because if you don't have water, you don't have growth. It's as simple as that. So I would hope when we communicate with DOT, it is on a particularly holistic manner, just not the lack of oil, but also the lack of resources to grow.
We're just on the threshold of beginning. We're in limine of beginning.
I was going to use my new word.
Public transportation along the 15-501 corridor between Pittsburgh and Chapel Hill. There's been the model does not take into account not only the issues y'all have just raised there, but also the increased trend toward telecommuting. You know, will people need to drive to work every day? These types of things. So, anyway, I think you're absolutely right. I think there's a number of critiques there. I think it's probably time to wrap up this discussion for tonight.
Good discussion.
So, is there a second for Dan's motion?
I second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. Thanks very much. I'm sorry, I know one or two of you were inspired to say one more thing tonight about that after we had finished hearing from the public, and I just, it's a long enough agenda item. I couldn't reopen the comment period. I apologize for that. But all right, Mr. Manager, item D3.
Okay, this is a Lorraine Street traffic calming request. Residents of Lorraine Street have submitted a petition under the town's residential traffic management plan requesting traffic calming between James Street and Hillsborough Road. Staff recommendation and Transportation Advisory Board recommendations are provided in the packet, and a resolution is provided for consideration by the board. Trish, do you have some
comments? Do we need a presentation on this?
No.
Okay. Mr. Lewis, before you leave, let me just say one last thing, which is we sincerely appreciate your being here tonight.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, thank you.
We have some tough words for DOT sometimes, but it's not a personal matter, and
I'm a public hearing officer for the department, so I'm used to traffic. Let me just say, if the mayor, the board, the citizens need any additional information from us, you know, just let us know.
There was a gentleman here tonight who said something about how he appreciated that he was beginning to hear back more from DOT, and I would point to you and say I know what he's talking about is your work, Mr. Lewis. You've been very responsive with information. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Is there a motion on the Lorraine Street matter?
No, there's somebody here actually
to speak on this issue. Wait a minute. Sorry, yes. Come on up.
My name is Andy West, and I live at 206 Lorraine Street, which is located right at the intersection of Phipps and Lorraine. So I'm at a kind of unique position to watch that intersection quite a bit, since I do a lot of yard work and I'm out there quite a bit. So I watch the traffic as it comes down Lorraine Street, and typically cars do exceed the speed limit, which is 25 on posted at 25 on that street. And I hear them, even if I don't see them, I hear them coming up, and most of the time I'm thinking, there's no way that they're going to stop at the stop sign. But generally, they'll at least slow down. and most of them will do a rolling stop through the stop sign and then continue on their way. It's not a very long street, but it is definitely a cut-through street along with Simpson and James. And Simpson and James now have speed tables. And from the feedback I've had from people who live on those other streets is the addition of those speed tables definitely has had a calming effect on the traffic there. So we would certainly like that as well. There are plenty of children there. I mean, that is a widely used cut-through street because there's a post office at the end, and it's a lot of people use that street along with the other two. Since the other two have speed tables on them and ours doesn't, ours is getting preferential use. The other thing that that I'm concerned about is the recommendation to take the stop sign away if the traffic doesn't slow down. Even though the traffic stop, the stop sign does not make everybody stop, it does at least slow some people down. So even if they don't come to a full stop, even a rolling stop is fine, in my opinion. I know that's not the legal thing to do at a stop sign, but at least they're slower than going, you know, because some people are going, I mean, I think during the study when they put speed assessments on there, some people were going 50 miles an hour down that street, which is kind of ridiculous. But a lot of people do go 40, because I'm, I know they're going pretty fast. So, and there are a lot of kids, and there are no sidewalks on there, and heaven knows when one might be put there. But so a lot of people do walk on that street. I know I walk my dogs, and I feel a little unsafe if people are driving really fast on that road. So I would welcome the addition of speed tables, but I really don't want to lose that stop sign with or without speed tables. I just want that stop sign left as is.
Okay.
Thanks, Andy. Just so you can know, the stop signs are not addressed in the resolution we're voting on tonight. Okay. So that would
be a later...
Yeah, if we consider that at all, that would be down the road.
It would come back.
Great.
I'll move attachment A.
Lydia had a comment real quick.
I can make a comment after we vote.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Thanks, Andy.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. Lydia.
Yeah, my comment, and I've noticed this before, I don't know if I've said it to the board about the neighborhood petition form. I wondered if we could amend it slightly where it talks about who it must be signed by, 75% of the owner, blah, blah, and maybe the attorney needs to make sure this is all right, but ballot signatures include those from, one, a property owner or spouse. I wondered if we can include or domestic partner.
Sure. So I think that's a very appropriate
Second.
Point. Then moved and seconded that we make that change to that form and relevant policy documents. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passed unanimously.
Move number four.
Item D4.
Wait a minute. This is a stupid question. Is a...
There are no stupid questions, only stupid answers.
You've worked with me longer than to say that.
Wait, I know what you're
going to
ask.
Yeah. I know that it is a spouse always a domestic partner?
No.
No.
In fact, a domestic partner is not always a domestic partner. It depends on the terms of definition.
So should it say spouse or domestic partner?
I think that was the motion, actually.
Yeah.
Well, then that makes it a stupid question.
Yeah, I guess you're
I told
right.
you.
Okay.
I was right. I was right. There you go.
I'm defeated. All right.
And move on. Yeah.
Item D4, Mr. Manager.
This is a request for permission to install Carrboro banners in downtown Carrboro. The request is to install, actually, 29 banners. James Harrison. Jesse Kalischer. How are you doing, Jesse? Good to see you. How are you doing?
Do you have a presentation, James, or can I jump into my question?
Yeah,
you
can too. Right? Yeah, let's go. No, let's go. Almost straight to that. James, if you can cover it very briefly, please.
Sure, I will. What I want to say, well, request from you is permission to put the banners up. I know you've all had some conversation about it and you know about it, but by ordinance to put it up on the poles downtown, we need your permission.
How?
So if I can get that from you. And I also want to say that we're very thankful to Jesse and the Carver Business Association for leading this project.
Yes.
And the other thing is I want to thank the other businesses, the Chamber of Commerce, the Carver Business Association, the Triangle Foundation, with the help of Mayor Chilton, who got us our first $1,500 towards that to help move it along, and everyone who participated in this project. So this is what it looks like, and Jesse will probably tell you real quick that it matches the map and stickers. So I'll let him.
It matches the map and stickers.
Hi, thanks, good to see you. So I don't know all of you, but hi to those that I don't know.
Okay.
Hi to those that I've communicated with, and hi, Dan. Okay, so, The Carver Merchants Association, I founded the Carver Merchants Association at the end of last year, really the beginning of this year, to help brand the merchants in Carver, to help drive tourism Carver with one thought in mind, and that's maintain the atmosphere and the local merchants that we have in Carver, not just now, not just this year, but 10 years down the road. You guys have approved a lot of new construction developments in town. I have no opinion on any of that. I'm sure it's all great and wonderful. But when we bring those in, we're going to be bringing in new retailers. And my hope, and I think all of our, I believe that our shared hope is that the retailers that fill this town 10, 15, 20 years from now look just like the retailers and merchants that we have today. So in order to do that, we need to make this a destination, not just for people in Carver, but for people outside of Carver, which it already is in sort of an underground way, but we wanted to help nurture that. So we created this map. It is I'm sure all of you are familiar with it. Mm-hmm. I have it upside down. I do. There it is. There's the map. It is drawn by a Carver artist named Richard Clout. He did a fabulous job.
Nice.
It was the graphic design was done by my wife at no charge. I might pay it. All the maps were paid for by the 21 merchants who are listed here. We printed 10,000 of these. Another 15,000 of these are getting printed this week. We've already distributed 10,000 of them. There are bumper stickers that and wall and window decals that are starting to appear in people's cars, and we'll be giving some of these away, selling some at the farmer's market in a couple of weeks just to try and help raise money to pay for these banners. And the idea of the banners, to try and bring this full circle, is to make to give the town a geographic delineation so that when people from out of town come here, and by the way, anytime you're at RDU and you ask for information about Chapel Hill, you're now supposed to be handed one of these as well, so as well as obviously the Chapel Hill Visitors Bureau and other places. So people who come to Carver want to know that they actually arrived here, right? They want to know, oh, it's the place from the map, I'm here. And so our thought is to put these banners up on the lampposts, the light post, to make that happen. I just thought I'd also point out this is what Chapel Hill's map looks like. So we should be really proud of it. I'm allowed to do that. Proud of what we're doing.
You're allowed to do that. I'm not.
Right. Listen, I pay taxes in Chapel Hill. I'm a resident of Chapel Hill, so it's okay. I love Chapel Hill also. James has done a tremendous amount of work. I mean, really a tremendous amount of work trying to get all the approvals we need to raise money from all sorts of hidden sources, including miraculously getting the Merchants Association to chip in even more money to the banners. And so all we need is your blessing.
So moved.
Second.
I have one question.
The moved and seconded, yes.
Jesse, I have a kind of, I guess, sort of a paradoxical question, but have you, blown one of these up to full size and hung it and determined that, yes, a car going by, the driver can see it and read the words "Walk Carborough" and get out of his car?
We have not done that. Uh-huh. I think the challenge with that, we can definitely do that. I mean, there's the question, there's two issues with that, right? How large is it and how high is it going to be? Mm-hmm. So I can certainly do it to size. Actually, we could do that in my gallery, no problem. We can do that tomorrow. What I can't do is get up on a cherry picker and hold it up at the right height. I think the key thing is, because we're going to have a combination of the logo and the type treatment and everything, uh-huh. I think, and because they're going to be on all the lampposts, I'm not sure that it's somebody driving through town at the posted limit of 15 mile, whatever that speed limit is, driving through town is going to look up and necessarily instantly read all the words, but they should be able to make a connection
mm-hmm.
between uh-huh. all the other branding. We're using the same exact type treatment, the same exact drawn houses, which are from Main Street. So, you know, I think that's the concept.
Yeah, but we also don't want motorists going, what does that sign say? And driving into the vehicle. Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
So I would appreciate it if you could,
we can do
whatever
that
effort you can do.
Those of us who've run for office,
if you need to get up
this problem.
With what?
The problem of whether your signs can be read. From
if you need to get up to the right height, Steve, maybe Public Works could help them with that. Is that possible? Like to get out in the truck and hold it up?
We're putting them up.
We're going to pay someone.
We don't.
We don't have
budget.
Okay. Yeah, we don't really have.
No, we can't
Public
do that.
Works. We don't have the equipment.
How do we put the signs up at the holidays?
We don't. Okay. Chapel Hill does.
Chapel Hill does that.
Chapel Hill put up a Bob Carver sign.
Jesse's got to go in Chapel Hill.
I've got a big ladder.
Anyway, whatever.
I have a big ladder. We tie the two ladders together.
No.
And then you climb.
That's right.
It sounds like a workman's comp
injury. We're going to be somewhat.
The mayor's got a record that I'm climbing two ladders.
As to where we can hang these signs because of clearance issues with the poles and so forth. There's not a lot of latitude in where I can go.
I mean, I'm happy to do all that. And I would suggest that if you look at the Touchdown Town banners that they put in Chapel Hill, you know, ours are going to be comparable with those. It's not like, it's not, we also don't want giant letters that are screaming at people. We want to make sure that it maintains the character and the comfort of Carver. So I think there's got to be a happy medium between, wow, I can see that from a mile away, and, oh, it's nice and comfortable and comforting. And I think the important part of the banners is that you just look up and you see something graphic and you say, ooh, I'm alive, right? I'm here. And that's really the key point.
Yeah, I'm not asking that you do some, you know, something over the top in terms of this, but just that if you check that one.
Yes, sir.
With your assurance that you're going to look into that matter.
Real quick, I just want to say, Jesse, I'm sure you thought of this, but I think T-shirts with that would be popular as well.
Oh, yeah.
Does the town ready to? Yeah.
I think that's
absolutely great. And I would encourage you all to think of this as sort of a 10-year project. So if this year we did a map and bumper stickers and banners, we should pop the champagne and say, amen, fantastic. And then next year or the year after, we can roll out some T-shirts. We're really happy to do that. And we've got some great T-shirt people in Carver.
Okay. We do, right around the corner from you. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Matter passed unanimously.
Great job.
I want to just take the opportunity, since I don't think he's been before us before, but I want to brag about Jesse Kalischer. His gallery is on Main Street. He's a professional photographer of great skill and a wonderful addition to our arts community. And just to give you the feeling of it, Jesse earlier this year sold some of his photographs to the Smithsonian, is that right?
Yes.
And also as it happens, and also to the Louvre in Paris.
Yes, sir.
He is an artist of high standing well beyond the borders of not only of our town but of our country, and we're
thank
proud
you,
to
sir.
Have you.
And all right, Mark, I'll vote for you.
We can annex.
All right. Next item.
Streets of Paris, the streets of Carver.
Thank you.
There's also part of this whole package is an agreement with Duke, which is sort of a standard pole agreement, similar to like we have with the.
So yes.
Is that implicit, at least in your?
Could we just have a quick motion that we enter into the necessary agreements with Duke Energy to use their poles?
Second.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
As opposed,
aye.
The matter passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, item D5, Mr. Manager.
Okay, this is a town code amendment establishing nutrient management provisions for certain properties. Town stormwater permit requirements include management of nutrient application. To fulfill this requirement, a town code amendment has been drafted. Purpose of this agenda item is to provide a staff report of activity subsequent to the board's last review of the draft amendment this past February, and a draft resolution is in your packet for consideration. Randy Dodd, our environmental planner, has an overview. Randy.
Briefly, then.
So, just by way of reminder, this is a requirement under our NPDES permit. We're actually in year four now, and this is a carryover from year three. The permit requires us to develop a program for oversight of fertilizer application. This is based on Jordan Lake having been designated as nutrient-sensitive waters in 1983, which is an example of the history or the kinds of problems that have manifested in Jordan Lake, algal blooms on the Morgan Creek arm of Jordan Lake.
Randy, just to clarify, NPDES is a federal EPA program that's managed by the state.
That's correct.
Is that right? And we have requirements under that program to take actions like the one we're considering tonight.
Yes. So what have we been considering? Town Code Amendment is the agenda, it's the abstract suggests, and I do want to mention that as drafted, this would only apply within the town limits. Based on our discussion over the past year, it's currently drafted with a 2-acre threshold. This would apply to a little bit less than 100 separate parcels. Some of those are owned by the same party, so about 50 different owners. These parties would either have to have a certified, these property owners would either have to have a certified party apply nutrients or prepare a written nutrient management plan just to show the outline of both the planning jurisdiction in the lighter brownish orange and the town limits where this would apply within the red. And basically, as drafted, the kinds of things we're trying to get at is encouraging people to do soil sampling, careful selecting the product, and timing of fertilization, and amount of nutrient added, and their method of application. Soil test is a standard thing offered by the North Carolina Department of Agriculture. Free service. We actually have soil test box and forms right out here for folks to pick up. It'll provide recommendations as shown here for nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, potentially other micronutrients. In this case, we're showing 7 pounds of 15-0-14 that came out of this soil test report for 1,000 square feet. And so in this case, for this recommendation, here I'm showing a 20,000 square foot property. It's actually, since 2 acres is what we're talking about, you can actually multiply this by a factor of about 4 for that size property. So this would be an equivalent of about 140 pounds of fertilizer. And the report would provide guidance on the timing and whether or not micronutrients are needed. So the kind of thing we're trying to discourage, in this case, spreading right at the street edge, there's likely some fertilizer that's getting out onto the street, which will be subject to directly running off. So back in February, when we last talked about this, you asked us to redraft the language to distinguish between farmland and turf. The draft we have before you does that. It actually has language that mentions pasture and cropland and turf and lawns. We don't believe it actually applies currently to any cropland, but perhaps at some point there could be some large cropping activity on these on some parcels, and so it seemed like it's appropriate to include that language. The way we've drafted it, we've extended the soil oversight for both pasture and, if it were to apply in the future, cropland to the Cooperative Extension Service. We believe this is somewhere between maybe 6 and 9 separate properties that it would apply to. And then for the rest of the properties dealing with lawns or turf, either the Cooperative Extension Service or town staff could provide some oversight. Other follow-ups from the February meeting, we have worked with the Cooperative Extension on the training aspect of this, as discussed in the staff memo. We completed a training several weeks ago here in Town Hall, advertised that broadly, and very much appreciate Karen McAdams and Carl Madiak from Cooperative Extension coming and helping out with that training.
How many people came?
There was a small crowd. We had about 6
That's good.
Than 5. And our recommendation is to adopt the Town Code Amendment. Our plans for, if we were to go forward with it, at a staff level, would be focusing on outreach and education. We don't we don't envision this as a enforcement-based or heavy-handed approach, but rather being more complaint-based. In other words, we're not recommending any permitting process, any ongoing routine inspections or application of any fees. So, you know, more on as complaints come to us or in our routine activities, if we notice a potential situation where there could be over-fertilization happening, that that we would then follow up on it. And I do want to mention also, we have been motivating this by our permit primarily, but we are also keeping our eyes to the fact that the Jordan Lake rules are moving through. And those rules, there's a five-acre threshold that kicks in the requirements. Residential land is exempted, and so what it does apply to is grass, public recreational lands, and rotary utility rights of ways, as well as commercial or institutional lands. And there's a whole separate set of the rules that deal with agricultural nutrient management requirements. Those set of the rules, the town will not have any role or responsibility and oversight. That will all be designated to other agencies, soil and water conservation, cooperative extension, of course, and natural resource conservation service are typically the agencies that get involved in the more rural fertilizer issues. And these are all detailed in the draft rules, and I won't, won't really talk about them any further. So,
is there a motion for the ordinance?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt this ordinance. Just to recap one point from that presentation, these rules then do not affect farming operations for folks who are growing crops or raising livestock. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. All right.
And let me follow up one other question. The fact that the folks from Cooperative Extension are not speaking tonight is indicative of the successful conclusion of the discussions with them and their support.
I spoke with Karen on Friday, mentioning we were coming to you tonight. If there were any outstanding concerns, she said she checked with Carl, but and just double checked with them. She thought they were happy with them.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks. I know the staff has worked a long time on this. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I want to be clear that we understood the question and answered it correctly. When it says it does not apply to crop, my understanding is it would apply to crop land, but it only applies in town, and we just don't have a whole lot of crop land in town, which is not to say that it wouldn't apply if there was a five-acre crop land, of which I'm not aware of any. But
okay. But it doesn't apply. Well, it doesn't apply to pasture lands, though.
No, it does apply to pasture land, does it not?
Well, no, I think what we said was it does not because. Well, go ahead.
So as drafted, let me just point out the specific language here.
It distinguishes between the cropland and the pasture land.
So
it does do that.
In the
yeah, if you look at 2C mark, and there is where it's pasture and cropland.
So this is for those properties within the town limits, greater than 2 acres, for pasture and cropland, using the nutrient management plan option, this would be developed to satisfy the requirements of the Cooperative Extension Service. So those landowners would be asked to work with Cooperative Extension, and it amounts to probably 5 to 8 or 9 properties that could potentially be deemed as being categorized currently as pasture land.
And they're all on Winston Lane.
Yeah, they're all out there on Winston Lane.
Right.
Okay. So it does apply, but I think the important distinction is it does not apply outside the town where most of the concerns that were raised about it.
Mr. Hogan's farm and that type of thing wouldn't be affected because it's not in town limits.
That's precisely. Right. The real farming enterprises that were raised are all outside of town.
That is
this does
point.
Not cover that.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney, for clarifying that. Okay. It's been moved and seconded for the ordinance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Matter passed unanimously. We have a copy of your report on the nutrient, on the our NPDES permit. Are there any questions from the board about it? If not, is there a motion for the resolution?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
As opposed, matter passes unanimously. Thanks very much. Yeah, I think so. It's been moved. Have you adjourned?
Wait a minute. I had a question. I'm sorry. Tom, my email, I had a lot of emails and phone calls today from people who work with people with disabilities, people in education, and people who work with around mental health issues about the budget acts that could fall as soon as tomorrow, and that would gravely undermine our ability to educate our children, to take care of the most vulnerable citizens that we have. And this is also, people will not have to face the bugaboo of raising taxes. And doing so, they're threatening to put our state in a downward spiral and to hurt our kids and our most vulnerable citizens. I'd like this board to pass a resolution to go to our state and our state House and Senate leaders, telling them that we do not mind their raising taxes to take care of the educational and mental health and health needs of the citizens of North Carolina.
Indeed, and in doing that, can we remind them that unlike ourselves, they have options for raising taxes in a progressive manner?
In a progressive manner, and that they can close corporate loopholes, they can raise taxes on the top 10%, which hasn't been done in quite a while, and that if they don't, they are positioning our state to go into a downward spiral.
Second.
Thank you.
Can your resolution include maybe the town joining the North Carolina Together Coalition, the people who are?
Sure, absolutely. This is really scary, and I'm sure that our resolution tonight will just put the brakes on it. But and it's going to position the municipalities to have to do things that we are not equipped financially to do. Anyway, it's been moved and seconded.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously.
Thank you, Jack.
I had just a quick question, actually, for Steve. On the calendar of agenda items, June through August, there's the follow-up on the rezoning in the NSA, and I wanted to get a sense of when you thought you would be looking at that.
I hope this week we're preparing an update to give to you all. So within the next few days, should have a better sense of the timing.
Really briefly, I just want to remind you and ask for your support. Once again, this board had already passed this resolution, but nationally, the country is gearing up to approach, to submit again comprehensive immigration reform, which is something that is impacting us. And President Obama is ready to support it. So tomorrow is going to be a national launch of that process, which is going to be a likely an interesting one with all Americans are going to participate. So I would like this board to renew that resolution in support of comprehensive immigration reform and be sent to our leaders.
Certainly.
Right.
Is that a motion?
I guess I will bring it up next.
All right. Why don't you bring us something in writing? Then.
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll do it.
Okay. All right. All those in favor. Oh, no. The move and second we adjourn. All those in favor signify.
Aye.
As opposed, manifesting yes. Thanks very much.